August blends up and quorum
Methodist queen works only case.
Let's cut the bull.
Thanks for tuning in to Rebellion Radio, the Hunger Games podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rebellion Radio, episode number 24 for June 17th, 2012. I'm Harley Commons.
I'm Leanne Thomas.
And I'm April Gersanti.
And welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode. Alex Bulova, unfortunately, is late. So don't even feel sad that he's not here. He's late. He said he'd be here, and he's not. But that's okay. We're going to have a lot of fun without him because he's not here. Just kidding. But... we got a lot of good news this week, finally. Listener mails, fan rock, and chapter chat. So let's just jump straight into the news this week. News number one, Simon Beaufoy, screenwriter for Catching Fire, has finished the script. So, not really anything to talk about there. It's just a good news piece, but yeah, I mean, He has the script done. And it's Simon Beaufoy who wrote Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, okay.
Which won, you know, like a billion Oscars, so that's a good sign. So, Elena, what is the next news story?
Next news story is that the Catching Fire location for filming was revealed to be in Kauai, Hawaii. I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's Kauai, yeah.
Kauai, yeah. Hawaii. So that's exciting. Obviously, that'll be for the arena.
Right.
It'll be a bunch of water and
islands,
stuff.
Sand,
yes.
Beaches.
Yes.
It looks awesome. If you guys saw some pictures of Kauai, it looks amazingly awesome. Like, first of all, if there are any Lost fans out there, it just reminds me of Lost, and that gets me awesome.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at pictures. It looks gorgeous. It sounds perfect.
Oh, it looks awesome. And, you know, Hunger Games had this kind of, the first one had this kind of, like, the musty look, and it was all kind of one aesthetic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be refreshing to see beaches and water.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Okay. April, what's the next news story?
The Hunger Games DVD Blu-ray, now available for pre-order. Yay!
Yay!
And on it, there'll be a bunch of special edition things being offered by Target, Walmart, and Best Buy. And that includes The World is Watching, The Making of the Hunger Games, The Game Maker, Suzanne Collins, and The Hunger Games Phenomenon, Letters from the Rose Garden, which is a featurette from Donald Sutherland on development of President Snow, Controlling the Games, which is stories and concepts behind creating the Control Center. A Conversation with Gary Ross and Elvis Mitchell, a propaganda film, a marketing archive, and Preparing the Games, a director's process, which is a Blu-ray exclusive.
Oh my gosh. Blu-ray exclusive. Okay.
Oh, I wish I had Blu-ray.
This looks awesome. Okay. I'm definitely going to get a special edition because all these features look pretty cool, you know? Like,
yeah.
What I'm particularly excited for is The World is Watching, Making of the Hunger Games, an 8-part documentary.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds awesome, mostly because I love documentaries, but I also love The Hunger Games, so it's perfect. Will you guys be purchasing this?
Yes.
I want to, but I'm poor, so I'm not sure.
My grandma.
Maybe I'll get it for like a birthday present or something.
Oh, yeah. I'll scrape together
a really
the pennies.
A really early birthday present, maybe? I don't know.
My grandma has probably pre-ordered it already without me knowing, so...
Nice. I will find a way to get this. Well, I mean, I want the Blu-ray version because that Blu-ray exclusive is just too tempting. And I have a Blu-ray player, but
lucky.
Do you guys think there'll be deleted scenes on this?
Have they said anything about them so far?
No, they haven't. But I think they can still announce, like, oh, we forgot to mention this or something. I don't know, I'm hopeful, because deleted scenes are always the funniest part. They're always the best part.
Yes, the bloopers.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to, like, have bloopers in any of the what's it called? The DVDs for, like, all three or four movies or whatever they're going to have. Like, Sometimes I think that with some, like, film franchises, they wait till the last movie to have bloopers on them.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll wait till then if they don't have them for this one.
And it might ruin the whole feel of the thing, because I feel like it's going to be set up the same way we saw Capital PN, like you're, like, watching a copy of the actual games or something.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, it's like it's sort of like a serious kind of movie. I mean, you don't see blooper reels on, like...
Yeah, that's true.
You don't see, like, bloopers for, like, intense movies. But I'm still hopeful because, you know, it still is, like, a...
There had to be some crazy dirt moments with Jennifer Lawrence and
yeah, no, cause, like,
Josh Hutcherson together.
Because, like, I've seen blooper reels of Jennifer Lawrence and different stuff, and she derps all the time.
It's so great. So, yeah, I hope...
So, the next news story is that the second Hunger Games movie will be called The Hunger Games: Catching Fire. So, I think this has been expected. Are you guys surprised by this at all?
Not really. I wasn't really sure if they were going to do, like... Like, because... I know, I hate to bring Twilight into this, but they for
Ooh.
Those movies, they had the Twilight Saga, New Moon, or Eclipse, or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I mean as clunky as it seems, no one's going to know Catching Fire right off the bat.
And no one's... Well, and also, it's not going to be advertised as The Hunger Games Catching Fire. It's mostly just going to be Catching Fire, you know?
Actually, they may... I mean, well, I don't know, because I feel like in Twilight commercials, they say the Twilight Saga
they
blank.
Do.
Don't they?
Yeah, but... Well, yeah, I think they do, but it's kind of like... I don't know. I feel like other... sorry. Otherwise, it would just be like, instead of saying, I'm going to see the Twilight Saga Eclipse, people would just say, I'm going to see Eclipse, and everybody knew what it was.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, if you're talking, like, with your friends, but I feel like the marketing campaign is still going to have to say that, because as popular as The Hunger Games is, like, no one's going to know Catching Fire, like, if you hear that straight, like, just fresh, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to go watch Catching Fire. Like, the majority of the people won't know exactly what you're talking about. And it's going to be even more vague when it gets to Mockingjay. It's like, I'm going to go see Mockingjay. It's
yeah.
Like, are you going to the bird exhibit? Or, but,
yeah,
I think that was expected. And, Elena, final news story.
Let's see. Francis Lawrence will be using special IMAX cameras to film scenes of Catching Fire. So that's cool.
It is very cool, because mm-hmm. that's awesome.
What does that mean, exactly?
Okay.
It just means it's better quality, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, right. It looks a lot better, and it sounds better, and IMAX cameras have actually just recently been used to film commercial movies. Like, The Dark Knight was, like, one of the first ones. And
mm-hmm.
it's huge. If you've ever been to, like, a real IMAX screen...
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
it's
oh
ginormous.
God.
There's one in Seattle. There's the Pacific Science Center, and I actually saw Mission Impossible 4 there, and it's insane. Like, it's to me, it's better than 3D.
Yeah, definitely. It's just so much better quality,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot more expensive to see a movie in IMAX. But
yeah, it is.
Sometimes it's worth it, depending on the movie.
Oh, it's worth it.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Well,
yeah.
In the local IMAX over here at the aquarium, they had The Hunger Games playing there. They always have, like, these mainstream movies.
Oh, right, yeah, they had it IMAX. But, to show it in IMAX is different than to actually film stuff with IMAX cameras. Because the IMAX cameras are, like, giant. I wish Alex was here so he could geek out about this with me.
Is it like, when an IMAX movie is shown, like, I saw Night at the Museum 2 in an IMAX, and it wasn't, like, the whole entire screen, it was kind of
yeah,
like a box.
That's just showing it in the theater. It's not... The actual, it's not like they use the special cameras, because
so
the special cameras film it for the whole screen.
They'll make it the whole, yeah. I feel like that's going to be really, really, like, scary.
It'll be awesome. Don't worry, it's going to be amazing.
Imagine seeing, like, all that killing, like, on that giant, like, six-story screen.
I know,
I'm
HD
so excited.
Killing.
HD killings.
HD murder.
IMAX murder. But, yeah, it's going to be cool. Like, the screen will expand, because they can't film the whole thing in IMAX, but we're going too much into this. Let's move on to emails and comments. Good news week. April. Okay, actually, you know what? Let's explain this. We got a ton of emails, like, a lot. So, just for the sake of time, we're only going to read off one, and it's from Emma, and this was just because this was one of the first ones that came in. If you send an email, we do read all of them, so don't worry, but we just don't have enough time to read them all.
We got so many.
So many good emails.
And they were all so good. We just can't read all of them.
Yeah, thank you for sending in. Keep sending it in. Just because it doesn't get read on the show doesn't mean it's not.
Yeah, all the listeners did so much research into all the name meanings and stuff, and it was crazy and really interesting. I wish we had more time to read them, but,
we don't. So, April, why don't you read the first chunk of Emma's email?
It says, homework from you guys is fun. So your latest podcast inspired me to do some research, and here's what I found out. It's pretty amazing. How do you pronounce his name?
Plutarch?
Yeah, it's Plutarch.
Plutarch was a Roman author, philosopher, priest, and magistrate. He wrote works on Roman emperors, including Julius Caesar. He also influenced the works of Shakespeare. And Octavia. Octavia was the sister of the Emperor Augustus and the great-great-grandmother of the Emperor Nero. She married the ex-husband of the daughter of Julius Caesar. She later married Mark Antony until he betrayed her for Cleopatra.
Okay. Hold on. Alright, so Cinna was a character in Shakespeare's play Julius Caesar, where he was a gentle poet that was mistaken for a conspirator. He was murdered. In real life, Cinna helped to assassinate Caesar. And Portia, the stylist, was the wife of Brutus, both in Shakespeare's play and in real life. She was in on the plot. Portia's father was a man named Cato. Okay, that's awesome. Who committed suicide. Portia later committed suicide, too. Nightlock. Okay. Final stretch. Elena, finish it off.
All right. So the capital, Capitoline Hill, was a real place in Rome used as a temple and a place of punishment.
Ooh.
Coriolanus Snow comes from... Coriolanus was a Roman general and the name of a tragedy by Shakespeare, and Brutus schemes to kill him. So there you are. Sorry I couldn't find anything on Finnick, Johanna, Madge, Vinia, or Coyne, but I'm pretty proud of my research. I love your podcast and homework from you guys. It's so much better than algebra. Haha. Keep rebelling, Emma. Smiley face.
Thank you, Emma, for writing in.
Very cool.
Yes, awesome. And thank you.
We got a lot of stuff about Finnick, too.
Yeah.
Also.
Just keep sending in, but again, we apologize, but thank you for writing in, everybody. And now we're going to move on to Fan Rock. Fan Rock is the segment where you guys, the fans, can submit your own tunes to be previewed on the show that connect to the Hunger Games series. Elena, why don't you introduce Fan Rock?
All right, so Fan Rock this week is from listener Vivian. She chose This Is War by 30 Seconds to Mars, and she says, I picked this song because it sounds like it was totally made for the Hunger Games. Examples from song lyrics. 1. To the victor. The victor is Katniss and Peeta. And then, 2. We will fight to the death, to the edge of the earth. Basically, this is about the arena and how the tributes fight to the death and chase each other.
Fair enough. So, thank you, Vivian, for writing in. Here is a sample of This Is War by 30 Seconds to Mars. Hey, it's 30 Seconds to Mars, and the sample will be 30 seconds. Ooh.
OMG!
So funny. Okay. So thanks for that, Vivian. If you want to email in your own Fan Rock segment, just email us the name of the song, the artist, and a YouTube link. Now, we are going to move into Chapter Chat, Catching Fire. Chapter Chat is where we analyze... We analyzed two chapters from the book, Catching Fire. So this week we have chapters 7 and 8. As always, spoiler alert, for every book in the trilogy, we will talk about everything. So you have been warned. So, Elena, why don't you take it away with chapter 7?
Alright, so Katniss leaves a special sign for Gale at their usual meeting place out in the woods. She needs to talk to him about what she saw at the mayor's house. She thinks back to what happened right after she saw the program. She ran into the mayor and played dumb like she hadn't seen anything. Then she went looking for Madge.
Wait, hold up. Just a reminder, the program was a riot happening in elsewhere districts.
Mm-hmm. Was it District 8, right?
It was some, like, obscured one.
Yeah. So Katniss asked if Madge wanted the Mockingjay pin back, and Madge said no, even though it's a family heirloom. So, that's one of those weird things with Madge that we still don't really understand.
Again, with the weird Madge things.
I don't know what it's about, but anyway. So Katniss explained that everyone in the capital was wearing Mockingjays, which is ironic since the Mockingjays evolved from a special kind of animatronic weapon the capital created. It's like they broke free from the capital's control. The Mockingjay is taking on a special meaning for Katniss as something that survives and outstrips the capital's expectations. Katniss waits for Gale at an old house deep in the heart of the forest. They haven't seen each other since she got back from the tour. Maybe he's avoiding her. We wouldn't really blame him, considering Katniss's very public engagement to Peeta.
Mm.
She makes a fire, and soon Gale shows up. He's holding the gifts and looks upset. Katniss wastes no time in explaining what's happening and how Snow threatened Gale. They seem to make up a little, and Katniss fills Gale in on the whole thing. She proposes running away, and to her surprise, he agrees.
Ooh. Because Gale is the one that proposed that in the first
book. In the very beginning.
Yeah.
Gale is so happy and says he loves her, but Katniss can't say it back. She explains that she has to concentrate on staying alive first. This upsets Gale, but he deals with it.
What a sad story.
I know.
Oh, well, it's Gale. I feel some sympathy, but...
Oh, gosh.
Okay. Poor Gale. Anyway, until that is, he realizes that Katniss's running away plan isn't about just them and their families. It includes Peeta and Haymitch.
Oh, no.
Poor Gale. You feel so bad for him.
He was in such a vulnerable place. He's like, yes, let's run away. He's like, yeah, Haymitch is
like, oh, yeah, let's also bring my fiancé, too, even though, like, we're in love. But we'll just have him tag along also.
And just imagining drunk Haymitch running away is just funny. With his little knapsack.
So Gale pushes Katniss to choose between him and Peeta, but she won't. It's a lot of love triangle-y stuff this chapter.
Yeah.
So Katniss blames her... Suddenly Katniss slips and mentions the problems in District 8. Gale makes her tell him everything. Katniss blames herself for the deaths and destruction to come, but Gale says she's an inspiration and that there should be a rebellion. They argue, as usual. Gale says Katniss could lead a rebellion. When she's not willing to, he storms out, rejecting her gifts. Alone, Katniss tries to strategize. Maybe Gale's mother will help him see reason. Katniss flashes back to her talk with Snow, how he reminded her of the way she fought to save her own life. The day is coming to an end, and Katniss has to get back to the district. She seeks out Peeta on her way home, having decided to ask him about running away. Just like Gale, Peeta says he'll go, but asks whether his rival will be coming too. Unlike Gale, Peeta says he thinks Katniss will chicken out. Then they hear a strange noise coming from the town center. Peeta figures out what's going on and tries to keep Katniss away, but she fights her way through the crowd. There, she sees Gale chained to a post, being whipped by the new head peacekeeper.
Bum, bum, bum.
Dun, 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 dun.
There's a lot of, like, boy stuff and, like lovey-dovey stuff in this. Not lovey-dovey, but Twilight-esque love triangle frustrations, which I guess you need, but...
Angstiness.
Is like, now Gale's being whipped, and that's sad and all, but it's gonna be like, Gale, I love you. And April gets that chapter, so April, take it away with chapter 8.
Ooh. Although she's too late, Katniss jumps in to try and protect Gale. She gets slashed brutally across the face. She calls out to the man who's beating Gale to stop, but he's about to whip her again. The man, who she doesn't know, is strong and vicious. Haymitch arrives in the nick of time to rescue her and threatens the man, saying that if he doesn't stop hitting Katniss, he'll call the capital. While this is happening, Katniss notices her friend Darius has been beaten and is knocked out. The strange man says Gale was hunting illegally and must be punished. Peeta and other townsfolk back Katniss and Haymitch up, lying about how they usually punish poachers. The man who's the head peacekeeper leaves after making other threats, and the crowd disperses. Katniss can't help Darius, who's taken away by the other peacekeepers.
That's a good scene, because you really see how the district unites against him. Because, I mean, sort of rebellion, sort of stirring, at least a mentality of what are the good guys and they're the bad guys.
She and the few people left help Gale, who's in really bad shape, by taking him to her mother's for medical care. On the way there, Katniss learns what happened. Gale usually sold his hunting finds to the head peacekeeper, Cray, but today Cray wasn't there. So Gale got caught with...
Cray. I just had to. The head peacekeeper's name, Cray.
Cray.
That's Cray. Okay, sorry. Continue.
So Gale got caught with contraband by the new head peacekeeper, who punished him. When Darius tried to intervene, the new head peacekeeper bashed him in the head. They get to Katniss's house, and her mother and Prim immediately get to work to fix Gale. It takes a long time, as he has been so badly beaten. Katniss is in pain, too, and they don't have nearly enough medication. Katniss freaks out.
Poor Gale. I mean, he's like, this is, like, not his day. First he gets rejected by the girl that he's, like, in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, literally, like, walks, ten minutes later, he gets his head beaten up by this guy. So, I mean, just... Poor guy. I mean, you guys have to feel bad for him.
I do. I really do. And the worst part is, the girl he just confessed his love to, her mom, is the one that has to clean him up.
This is horrible for him.
But slightly humorous. I'm kidding. It's sad. Okay. Moving on.
So Katniss freaks out and starts yelling, and while she calms down, Peeta tells Haymitch about the plan to run away. There's a sound at the door. Everyone cowers, expecting the worst, but it's just Katniss's friend Madge with some pain medication that belongs to her mother. It's powerful medicine made in the Capitol, and it seems to help Gale feel better. Everyone else leaves, and Katniss sits with Gale. She kisses him again.
Oh no!
This is so not Gale's day.
Well, that part is, but it's just complicating everything else.
It is. Katniss criticizes herself and the kind of person she is. She doesn't know who she is anymore. She thinks about how, even though she's left the arena, the games are still going on. She's still fighting to survive. Dun dun dun.
I think it's kind of funny, because she does that, like, every day. There's nothing new about her. She's always criticizing herself. She's always like, I am a horrible person, ah, ba-doo, ba-doo, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
It's the angst.
It's sad. Yes, angstiness. This is like the angst chapters.
Angst chapters, yes, that's exactly what this is called. She does criticize herself, and it's all valid, because she's leading on Peeta somewhat. She's leading them both on somewhat, because she's kissing Gale every 10 seconds, and then over here, she's about to marry Peeta. I guess it's a confusing situation, but... that was definitely the angst chapters.
Yeah, but I mean, I sympathize with her, because...
You sympathize?
It's like, you know what I mean, because she has all of it forced upon her, and normally she wouldn't have to make all these decisions, but because of the Capitol, she's, like, being forced to make it, and she doesn't want to make the choices, but she kind of has to, so it's complicated and angsty.
I agree.
Hello, Alex.
Oh my god, hi!
OMG, where did you come from?
I have literally been here the entire time. I don't know why you guys couldn't hear me.
Oh god.
Sarcastic clap. Welcome, Alex. Would you like to explain to the listeners where you've been?
Yes. I was just watching an awesome movie called Donnie Darko, and yeah. That's my only excuse.
I can't look at you. I can't look
Had
at you.
Had to finish it.
I can't look you in the eyes.
Can we just go with my excuse of being here the entire time? I think that'd be better.
It makes more sense, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Okay, so Alex is back, and that's that. That finishes up chapter chat for this week. Email in your thoughts about the chapters we just discussed, or email in your thoughts for chapters 9 and 10 of Catching Fire for next week. And we may read them off on the air. So let's finish off the show this week with Hrock. Hrock, or Hunger Games Rock, we close the show each week with the musical selection of one of the host's choice that we think fits well with the Hunger Games. Elena?
Alright, so this week I chose Brick by Boring Brick by Paramore, and we have gotten so many fan Hrock suggestions for all these Paramore songs, and rightfully so, because Paramore has a ton of songs that work with Hunger Games. I chose this one, though, because I think the song is mostly about losing, like, the loss of innocence, basically. And I think it just goes really well with the theme of the games and forcing these kids to kill each other and stuff. So, yeah.
Very cool. Be sure to visit Rebellion Radio Podcast for everything about the show. You'll find handy links to our iTunes and Tumblr. iTunes, leave us a review. Thank you very much. And you can stay updated through our Facebook and Twitter, which are both at /RRPodcast. Discuss with other listeners in the comments, and of course, contact us for anything at all at comments@RebellionRadioPodcast.com. Alright, thanks all very much for listening. I'm Hurley Commons.
I'm Alex Volva, and I was never here.
And I'm Elena Thomas.
And I'm April Grisanti.
Fight the Capitol and the Hunger, join the Rebellion. Ooh, Alex is here. Should we do my song?
Yes!
What is your song, Hurley?
I'm
the bet.
Wait, which one?
Oh yes.
Which one did they decide upon?
I'm sure. I think it's Call Me Maybe.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Okay, this is really, wait. This is exciting. But how did this happen?
I am so happy.
Oh, I'm so glad I made it onto this podcast.
Oh, as much as it pains me, Alex. Like, first of all, he made it to the episode so he can look like, you know, shame me. And Call Me Maybe won the song choice, so thanks, guys.
I love it. This is, like, the best day of my life.
Okay, let's explain for some of the people that may be lost.
So, April, me and Hurley, before the movie came out, we made a bet as to, during the trailer, we saw one clip of Katniss, you know, was it with her in the orange backpack in the woods?
She was pulling back an arrow. She was like, she was about to shoot something.
I remember that. Okay, now I get it.
So
I remember that bet.
Yeah, we made a bet to see if she was in or out of the arena, and I lost. So I have to sing Call Me Maybe right now. I'm just going to sing a verse or the chorus or whatever.
Can you say the whole thing?
No.
Can you just, okay, at least a verse and a chorus.
Let me find the lyrics here. I hope you're all happy. Oh, okay, here we go. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, wish in the well.
You can't just do this, like, mumbly little thing.
I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish, pennies and dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Your stare was holding, ripped jeans, skin was showing. Hot night, wind was blowing. Where you think you're... Oh, I can't go that high. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. But here's my number, so call me maybe. It's hard to look right at you, baby. But here's my number, so call me maybe. Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. But here's my number, so call me maybe. On all the other boys tried to chase me, but here's my number, so call me maybe. Done. We're done here.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I hope everybody is happy right now.
Can this be a daily thing, please?
No, that was a one time in the life. I can't believe I let that available
until
on the internet.
Fire trailer comes out.
No, make no more bets.
Next time, can you sing What Makes You Beautiful?
No more bets. I'm not making outrageous assumptions anymore, and then allowing Alice to be correct. We're done here. I hope everyone listened long and hard, because that's never happening again. Alright, so thank you all very much for listening, and you all suck for voting for that song. Just kidding, I love you guys. prodigal son has returned. Tapping my foot right now.
Oh, we are. We are so happy.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Can I just sing the chorus?
No!
No, I don't, no! I don't sing know how the first verse.
Okay, look, the chorus is a lot.
I don't
know how that goes.
I don't remember the words, but
yeah. To be fair, I don't know the verse either. So,
okay, screw it. I'm just doing the chorus. I don't know the actual tune of the first part.
Well, I do, kind of.
Well,
go on YouTube and play it.
Go
and play it on YouTube.
How about the whole podcast just sings?
Is it kind of weird that I actually kind of like the song? Is it okay if I admit that?
It's catchy.
I think it's the type of song that, like, you don't want to openly admit you like, but I think secretly everybody at least hums along to it.
Yeah.
It's just so catchy.
Well, she can sing. It's not like she can't sing. It's just...
Yeah, it's not like, okay. It's not like a bad song or anything. It's not that bad.
Here, okay, I'm gonna do it. Let's just
it's just overplayed.
Oh, I can't sing. Everybody knows this.
Go and play the music video and then sing with the music video.
God, I feel so girly.
Can we get, like, something trending on Twitter about this?
I'm tweeting about it right now.
Whoever wants to tweet, use the hashtag totally call me maybe.
No, our tweet should
actually be. I'm doing it! Totally call me maybe. I just tweeted, and I used the hashtag totally call me maybe.